All right. Welcome to another episode of Chad Watch. Got a great episode today. My name's Chris Silva.
My name's Kyle Miller.
Kyle Miller over here. And we got Roy Liskey with us from Local Roots. And we're having a pretty topical episode today. We're going to talk about many people are hypothesizing that the state's going to maybe try to roll out some rules on eliminating deli-style flower. And for people that work in the industry or buy cannabis at all, in the legal market, I think you'll all know what I'm talking about. Like, you go into a store, it's in a jar or a container. They sell, you buy an eighth, they weigh it out in front of you. This is the format that's pretty predominant and is definitely like a long time tradition in the industry. And so we thought Roy would be a really good person to chat with. He checks a lot of the boxes for the kind of operators that we really like and support. And interestingly enough, also would be very affected by this. So I will let Roy tell us a little bit about himself and his family. If you wouldn't also maybe talk a little bit about your mom's connection to Kind and stuff. That's where I first kind of became acquainted with the Liskey family. And just talk a little bit about the store and about yourself and the family and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are out here in Langsburg, Michigan, about halfway between Lansing and Owosso, and we opened a little over a year ago, family owned and operated. My mom and I actually own the business, and she was a caregiver for around 10 years and grew for medical patients who really needed it. And so we always have caregivers at the heart of, you know, our decision making. A lot of caregivers, you know, give weed for free to their cancer patients and RSO and these types of things. So there's definitely still a need for caregivers in Michigan. So we do feel strongly about that. But yeah, we opened our store in our hometown in Langsburg. We've lived here for about 40 years, and we were very excited to be able to do this. I lived out in Colorado for a few years when legalization first hit out there. I was working in the hospitality industry and got to see the industry grow and develop out there. And some of my favorite shops were the, you know, real homey feeling mom and pop type shops with deli style. You know, there's a whole feeling about it. There's the very corporate, sterile, everything prepackaged, and you don't feel really comfortable in those stores. And then there's these other shops that have more of a vibe to them. So we wanted to be the latter, and we've worked really hard to create a comfortable environment where people can ask questions and we have honest conversations about things going on in the industry. And I think that gives us a little credibility with our customers. And yeah, we're happy to be doing it. We want to keep doing it for the next 40 years and hopefully someday retire here in my hometown from this business. But it's definitely going to be a lifelong thing. We're here to stay. So not interested in selling out at all or anything like that.
Yeah, that's super awesome, man. Real quick, I just want to also mention Roy's running a shop in a small town, and unlike a lot of people, he's not running any of these MCMA mids companies and shit or trying to fuck with people that are like hurting caregivers or other people. So whenever the homies clap back when I see dirty Juanas and stuff in their store, Roy's always the person I point him to. I'm like, this guy's doing it 30 miles from a city. Some of these guys I'm talking about are in major cities that if they just replace this bullshit mids that they have, that's like literally hurting our community. You know, anyway, so that's what I really respect and applaud you for that, man. That's very, very good of you. And especially to be able to make it work in such a, you know, Kyle also, you're also doing that.
Yeah,
shit.
I respect the shit out of it too. Roy, we've remained in a similar position at my shop, Easton Craft,
And, you know, as a grower to Eastern Craft Cultivation, we love working with shops like yours across the state that do deli style, and we support, you know, keeping that system intact for sure. So let's get into it a little more.
Yeah, we're definitely, you know, happy to put the spotlight on craft growers like yourself, Kyle, and, you know, some of the good actors in this industry that aren't trying to change the plant count for caregivers and things like that. I mean, when it comes to providing RSO for cancer patients, you need a lot of material to make ample amount of that. And it changes people's lives. And a lot of our customers are caregivers. And so the idea that, you know, caregivers are bad for the industry is flawed. You know, they come into our shop and they want to try things that we have and talk about, you know, how they grow, what they're growing, show us pictures. And we're open to that. And so, yeah, we never want to abandon caregivers or, you know, carry products of those who are trying to, you know, change that system.
Hell yeah, man. Respect for that for sure. Let's talk about bulk flower for a minute now. Obviously, as a deli style grow, or excuse me, a deli style retail, you're receiving flower in bulk pounds. And then what's the first thing you do when you receive it? Obviously, you visually inspect it before you even receive the package. And then from there, you have two options. You could either put it in deli style, or you would package it in-house in eighths and grams or whatever you prefer. Now, that flower is manually inspected as it's transferred into a jar for deli style or if as it's packaged. So it's examined again by yourself or your staff or whoever's working. And then ultimately, when it makes it to the floor, if it's deli style, that's examined again by a consumer who's eyeballing it, and you're opening the jar and smelling it. And we take a system like that and try to, you know, some of these chads, as we put it, are trying to say that the cleanliness and in-house packaging, for example, you know, it can't be, that standard can't be met by the retail stores, or I don't get where that comes into play for them. Obviously, they want to prepackage only so that they can pass remediated shit flower onto a consumer that knows no better because they can't visually inspect it.
Yeah, I think you touched on some great points there. You know, when we receive a pound of bulk flower at the store, we visually inspect it. We open the bag. You know, we're punched in the face with aroma, and we know it's good. And you can also inspect the totality of that pound. Okay, if I get a pound of prepackaged eighths, that's 130 units. I'm gonna open one, and maybe it looks good. Maybe the rest of them are crap. You know, maybe it's half and half. Maybe the packaging machine at the processing plant got you know, a lot of shake into some of the bags, you know, and it's very hard to detect that kind of thing.
Maybe it's not even 3.5. You know what I mean?
And oftentimes it's not, especially for, you know, if it sits for a long time in that package.
Starts to get some dry loss.
It can dry. It can shrink up a bit. And we found that freshness is a big one. The moisture content of flour holds better in a bulk storage situation. So airtight jars.
Right. How often do you so when you buy a pound, like you don't like it, it so basically you dispense it out as people purchase it. So that makes the storage of it a lot like kind of like what you're laying out. I think a lot of people really kind of forget that when you're opening it up to sell it every day and you see it every day, like there's so many eyes on it that it's just so much easier for problems to be addressed. So thanks very much for hitting that, man. That was on my little checklist of things I wanted to make sure we got out there.
Yeah, if we're selling buds, I don't want somebody to get a bag that's half shake, you know, and we have more control over that when we're weighing it up at the register. And you know, the sanitary thing, we use tongs, no bud tenders ever touch the buds. We take sanitation very seriously. And to say that processors would be a better alternative, I think is a farce, because we've all heard about the processing plant that got fined for licking joints, and the processor that got fined for licking chocolate covered spatulas. I don't know what it is with processors, but there's a lot of licking going on.
No, for sure, man. I think that's like one of the things that we were talking about before this show is the nice thing about having the stores do that aspect is there's more of a, that's something that you as a consumer have more power to shop around for, right? Like most stores, you know, the inventory is 100% curated by the staff that works there. So like you as a consumer, you basically have to go to where the store that has what you want, or you just have to deal with what they have when you're at the store that you're dealing with. So I think like it gives consumers an opportunity to let the market play it out. And if they come to a store like yours that is doing all these things that can like assure them like, hey, listen, like these are our standards for storage and for the way we distribute out the product and just the quality hallmarks that we're looking for. And you know, you can kind of run them down the list. That's a place for good retailers like yourself to kind of do well. But it's more, I think for me, more important than all of that is it's, I think all of us would agree, like that's like the preferred like, and the cultural norm for purchasing cannabis, like across the board, I think, unless you guys think I'm way off on that.
No, I think it's definitely part of the culture. And I think that, you know, from a customer's perspective, they want to see the bud. They want to see the bud size. Is there a lot of shake? What's the color? Is this, you know, kind of dull looking? Does it look like maybe it's old, or is it bright green and look really fresh? Is it maybe a little purple? They want to know that stuff. They want to be able to visually inspect kind of the density where PGR is used. You know, a lot of our customers are very educated when it comes to, you know, some of the things that go on in the industry, and they want to avoid certain types of production methods, like for example, remediation. You know, some people think that they can visually spot remediated weed, and they should have, the consumer should have the choice to make that judgment, because it's not required to be on the package. And as we know, some weed could test over 100,000 CFUs for molding yeast spores, and then they hit it with microwave radiation or ozone to kill those mold spores. But those mold spores are still dead, and you're still smoking dead mold spores. And to my understanding, I was having a conversation with Tom Beller, Real Leaf Solutions. The remediation processes that are approved by the state do not remove dangerous mycotoxins that can come from, you know, aspergillus and cause people with asthma, irritation, and things like that. But that's kind of a separate issue. But I think the crux of it is requiring prepackaged product, or requiring everything to be prepackaged, lessens consumer choice and transparency. And prepackaged flower can degrade faster. It creates versatility issues at the shop. I got a couple scenarios I'd kind of like to go into with that. You know, it's kind of like, it wouldn't, requiring prepackage would benefit vertically integrated companies, especially those with processing capability on site. So let's say case sizes are a pound, which they are for a lot of sellers. So if I want to buy a pound of eighths and a pound, or and I want to offer prepackaged ounces, now I have to buy 2 pounds. It's going to take me longer to sell 2 pounds. Things are going to sit around longer and get old. Now, let's say I sold all through the eighths of that strain, and all I have left are the prepackaged ounces of that specific strain, and the ounces aren't selling. I can either drop the price and lose my ass on the ounces, or I have to now pay secure transport to take it back to the processor, have it repackaged, have additional packaging expense and labor expense and transportation expense. You know, I fear that this change would put my small family-owned and operated store out of business. And it frustrates me that this conversation's been brought up. Because from my research, there's only one recreational state that requires all pre-packaging. I think it's Washington State.
That's the only one I'm familiar with.
Yeah, California, Colorado, Nevada, they all allow deli-style bulk flower sales like it's always been, like people are used to, like people prefer. And so I'm wondering, you know, I'm not sure who brought this, you know, to the table.
Some fucking Chad, for sure.
I'll read
and also his cousin Thad.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll read the what it says on the public notice. It just says some states require all flour to be prepackaged, or sorry, to be packaged prior processors prior to shipping to retail locations. Should Michigan rules require flour products to be prepackaged? Some states do not allow bulk flour to be sold out of large containers. Should state rules not allow retailers to sell bulk flour? So it could be that the processors, you know, vertically integrated big corporations, they have a processing license, are pushing this. It could be, you know, the MCMA and the fear mongering that goes on about black market weed being sold at dispensaries, which I find hard to believe. Until I see any proof that that's actually happening, I don't believe it. And maybe it's the packaging companies, the companies that sell packaging material. They would have a clear reason to get behind this. I just don't know who's pushing it. But regardless, it would be bad for the whole industry here in Michigan. And I think when you remove the customer choice and you affect the quality of the product by making it sit around on shelves longer, I mean, and when you remove the customer choice and now you're selling older weed because it takes longer to get to be trimmed and harvested and tested, and now it has to be prepackaged, and all the time that goes into that, and then maybe this size container isn't selling, so then it has to go back and get repackaged again. Now you're selling old weed, and I think that the customers will go back to the black market where they can look and see and smell and analyze what they're buying, and they'll get a much fresher product. What do you think, Chris?
No, man, I think that's kind of you're hitting it. You're hitting all the nails. I think that the biggest thing that I think about with all of this is it probably is like all of those things. It actually probably is like the perfect storm of lobbying and influence. You know, it probably is all of those people that are like, hey, the price of weed is fucking dipped. You know what I mean? Like, yikes, we've got to start figuring out ways to, because what you're describing is going to, if not do a really good job keeping prices level, it's going to raise them a little bit, you know, because people like folks like you that are running stores, you're going to have to make these decisions now where you're going to have to say, well, I'm going to order this many eights, and, you know, just, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. It's what you just described. But like that on a very real level does a lot of shit to your purchasing power. Like the way that you can spend money kind of gets thrown all around, and you have to make like way more of a calculated decision every month on what you're going to buy and how you're going to deploy these, you know, your limited purchasing power on stuff. And so that part of it seems to be all the people that you mentioned, they benefit the most, is like the highly capitalized, like large operators, vertically integrated. Like, they don't really give a shit, but they do care about, like, it's easier for them to deal with that than it is for them to deal with like their stuff being valued at $600 on the market. You know, this helps raise that up. So I think that's probably what's going on. I don't know. What do you think, Kyle?
The same concern exists for small cultivators too. For example, typically a smaller cultivation, the cost to produce a pound is going to be typically a little higher than somebody who has 6,000 plus plants and has a larger facility dialed in and their labor worked out accordingly. So at a time when the market is near the bottom, hopefully the bottom, if you add additional costs for a cultivator that doesn't have on-site processing, because obviously they're a smaller entity, you add that additional cost to outsource the packaging. And then when the price is already as low as it is, it really takes away all of what's left on the bone for a cultivator to make a living off of. And so it becomes an opportunity for Chad to eat up small grows as well as small retail, likely to buy small retails out and to just, you know, eliminate the license of the Class A guys or the Class C guys who were really only cultivating like 500, 600 plants. You know, it's an opportunity in their framework.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I do think the prices would go up due to increased packaging expense and labor. Mm-hmm. But paired with that, the quality of the product would go down.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this is unfair to the customer, and it will certainly send people to the black market, which, if that's one of the reasons they're trying to eliminate bulk flower, they think it's coming in the back door at dispensaries or something like that. You know, they're going to find out the harsh reality is, you know, customers are going to return to the black market and buy it out of the jar, cheaper, fresher.
Yeah. And this is going to ruin, like, this is going to absolutely ruin like the custody culture, like all of us as retailers and cultivators and stuff. Like, it's an ever-ending war, basically, struggle to educate the consumers on things like terpenes and minor cannabinoids and not doing straight THC. But like, look, man, if like by law all this shit has to be in a prepackaged bag, it's gonna revert to THC chasing immediately. You know, that's like the only thing that differentiates price for most consumers. You know, for most consumers, there'll always be consumers that will pay more money for the top end, but it's because they're knowledgeable, and that's not, unfortunately, most of the market at the licensed stores, you know? So I think that this would really, for the industry and for the culture of this industry, it would really set things. It'd make a lot of struggles like really, really a lot harder.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think, You hit the nail on the head. It is about culture here. It's about, you know, as a small mom and pop shop, I think our edge is the personal service we give, the transparency, showing people the weed, talking about the weed. You know, we have time in our shop to spend with customers, and we do. And it's about providing a sensory experience and having a more transparent sale. The customer gets to see the buds they're taking home before they go in the bag. Like, and I think it's what sets us apart. A lot of our customers prefer shopping that way with us. And it's a more personal experience. And at busy pre-pack only stores, deli style isn't practical. So they're not going to do it like we do it, which is fine. It's good for us. But if we go to all pre-package, we lose our edge, I think.
I can see that, absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more. And it's unfortunate that we even have to have this conversation.
I would like to bring up one other point, if I may. A lot of our customers have come in, and I think everyone's kind of appalled with the amount of waste that happens in this industry, particularly plastic. And so some of our customers will are like, hey, can I bring in my own mason jar? You know, I buy an ounce of weed every 2 weeks and I get it home and I put it in this jar anyway. Can I just bring it in? It'll save the dispensary, you know, a Mylar bag and yada, yada. But to my knowledge, that's not allowed right now. So I think, you know, and the conversation should shift to, you know, maybe more people offer deli style and the state should allow reusable containers to be brought in by customers. You know, if a customer wants 2 ounces in the real of a certain strain and the retailer only has that strain available in eighths, they have to expend 16 packages. That's 16 bags going into landfills or lakes or rivers or roadways. I mean, our customers want reusable containers and sustainability. It's a frequent request. And it would also give us a way to stand out to the environmentally conscious consumer. And I don't see the problem with it. If somebody brings in their own jar and I put an ounce in it and put a label and the triangular THC sticker, I mean, where's the problem? I think it would be good all the way around. And so honestly, I think deli style is preferable in the way of sustainability too.
I think that's a fantastic point, man. And I think that's something that not really a lot of people are thinking of, and the good points to make. And speaking of making points, how does one get involved? Is there a meeting coming up soon? What's the scoop on that?
Yeah, so a week from Thursday, let me get the time really quick. I can't remember the time and I don't have it pulled up. But a week from this Thursday, so that will be Thursday the 23rd. Sorry, Thursday the 16th. There will be a public hearing. And you can attend in person or on Zoom and make a public comment. As a consumer, as a member of the cannabis industry, all these voices need to be heard. Because if it goes unopposed, all we're going to hear from is big corporate canna, and the state may end up listening to them. And I think it would really negatively affect mom and pop shops, you know, smaller grows. And it could put a lot of the little guys out of the industry. And what I've appreciated about the state of Michigan's marijuana laws is that they allow for small business to thrive. I mean, there's not many states where you could just start a family business, you know. And Michigan is awesome because it's kind of made its own path. And I don't see why Michigan would want to follow Washington State's highly restrictive regulations. I've love that I'm in Michigan because it's allowed me to have a business, as where other states, maybe they've capped the licenses and only big corporations have the means to get them, you know? What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's kind of that's why I get so bummed out when I see the state talk about this kind of shit, is for the most part, we are one of the few few states that there's even a somewhat reasonable pathway for small operators to get involved. And I don't know where the real outrage is. Like, there's very few instances of things where this is a problem. And honestly, when it is a problem, like, almost always, like, the individual retailers or the processors, like, they work with the people to make it right. You know, like, there's like a system already in place for it. I don't see any of, like, the safety or health issues. All that stuff is already taken care of with other rules in the process. And I also think, like, it's, for the most part, there's like a lot of the processors and stuff are kind of like, ooh, salivating on this. And, you know, for, like, full transparency, like, the place that me and Kyle work, like, we're predominantly prepack, you know. We still do a lot of bulk, but that being said, like, I think that's, in my opinion, one of the reasons that I think our stuff does so well is that you can get it in bulk and get it in prepack, and it's consistent. You know, I think that's like a hallmark of dealing with good people like that. We like the environment how it is now, because I think that we have a good, thing going with us. Like, a lot of the people that are running a good business, like, they don't, I don't know. That's kind of just like the underlying business philosophy, man, with a lot of the people that we fuck with. It's like, if you're running a good business and you're doing a good job, you don't need to go change the rules to benefit yourself. Like, that's a Chad move, right? Like, and that's kind of, that's one of the things that I think is super, that I'm seeing, like, industry-wide, is like, is it kind of like there doesn't have to be winners and losers on this. I think we can have the market play things out. If there is a reason for there to be increased scrutiny or rules on it, like, that's one thing. We shouldn't just go straight to banning the shit, you know. Like, we should have rules about it. And I also, back to one of your earlier points, it's absolutely insane that what you're describing as far as somebody bringing in, like, I'm pretty sure, like, there's, like, clubs at bars and breweries where you get, like, you know, reusable
growlers.
Yeah, that they put, like,
growlers for beer in, Ken beer. You know, you can go get, in my town in Ionia, there's a mobile gas station that has like 8 to 10 different taps that you can bring your own growler to and fill right on the spot. And they just have like a little heat sealer thing, and out the door you go with how many gallons or how many, I don't even know how many ounces that is.
Shit, but man, it's
10 beers at least, ain't it? Right?
It's a lot. And like,
beers, I mean, something like that.
One day a year, they let motherfuckers, like, you know, fill up a boot with a Slurpee. You know what I mean? Like, they don't give a shit. Oh, yeah. They don't give a shit about
day or whatever.
They don't give a shit about people's health. Yeah.
Good point, so, man. They don't give a shit.
It's nuts. Like, I agree with you. Like, normally Chad Watch isn't trying to be out here being like, ooh, more rules, but, like, you know, maybe in this instance, like, yeah, man, more rules. Like, I think, like, if they're worried about it being
SOP or something.
Yeah, like, just like, let's lay out the program for it. Let's not just not allow it, you know?
Yeah. Try to if there's a public health risk, prove it. And then make a rule. But don't just get rid of it. You know, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Like, for no reason, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Other
than if there's some, you know, people pulling the strings.
So, I did want to let you know, 9:30 a.m. on Thursday, June 16th is the public hearing. You can go to the CRA's website and find this bulletin. And there's a link. I encourage everybody to attend.
We'll share the link on our Facebook and Instagram too, for sure.
Yep.
We'll put it in our bio on Instagram.
And I also wanted to say, you know, Redemption is probably one of the most successful brands in the state. Like, they move a ton of flour, and I'm sure there's no issue with freshness in the prepackaged. But that's not to say, you know, other producers who aren't producing,
right, not everybody operates quality, the same way,
that product's going to sit around longer, and the product's going to degrade in the bag. And I mean, I think we've all opened a a bag of pre-pack at some point during the pandemic where you get home.
It just smells like hay.
It pandemic. Smells like that's a- yeah. There's no smell. It, you break it up with your fingers and it turns to dust. You, it's hard to even roll a joint with it because you're getting all that dust in your mouth and whatnot. And then, and it's harsh. It's harsh on your throat. So
that's good point that you were making when you mentioned the pandemic, because there are a lot of people that have a distrust for pre-pack because they were burnt curbside during the pandemic. They picked Bud Tender, who's just standing outside in the rain at somebody's car, like, fucking pick one. I don't know. And then he just says, oh, yeah, pick that one. And then he goes in there and comes out and gives you something. You open it and it's straight up boof. And at the time, the market was through the roof. So you probably paid $60 for that eighth, and it was whack.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's where a lot of the distrust comes from. And a lot of that, the distrust is alleviated if you let the consumer look at it and you let them smell it, you know,
That can all be done. You know, and if there is a problem with that flower, likely you have a staff that's trained well enough that it never even makes it to the floor for the customer to see something that's not up to standard. Because like I said, when you took it in, you investigated it, you broke it up, your staff eyeballed it before you either packed it yourself or put it into deli style. And it's been through so many layers of, is this bullshit weed or not, that most of the time, if a customer is unsatisfied for something, it's just something that it's not to their personal liking. It's not that it's bad. It's just it's something they don't like. But anything that's bad, like obviously noticeably bad, won't even make it to the floor.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is a it's a pretty I mean, in my opinion, this is just like another kind of example of kind of just like what that kind of like corporate culture that these guys that are coming into the system are kind of used to, you know, like they're looking to have this be more of like a normal, I don't know how to describe it, but like have it like be like more
industry.
Yeah. Or just they want it to be more like standardized. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, if everybody has to pre-pack, then everybody I deal with is going to deal with like 1 pound, 1 pound cases. And so I know that that's this many units and blah, blah, you know what I'm saying, man? Like they want it to be like standard across like, across the board. Right. And so I think that they're trying to like, to push that and make that happen. But I just think that they're really missing out on like what's really going on in the market. And I like that it's like this now, man. I like that most of the prepackage, it's really weird. In fact, to get off on a kind of weird tangent, is the prepackage game in this state is kind of nuts, because it's the two extremes, right? Like, you know, like on one side you have like the live well dirty stepped on mids, you know, just straight barely fit for human consumption, just got the shit beat out of it on the willow, you know. And then you've got like Michigrown, and those are both coming in prepackaged eighths, you know, but those are just like absolutely, you know, those diverge so hardcore, right? And so I think that like that marketplace now is, it's interesting, because if you're a good cultivator and you're known to be good, like you can do 100% pre-pack. The stores move through it fast enough that it's not sitting there. But even that stuff, at the end of the day, you're falling into the same constraints as everyone else. Like once it gets to the retailer, like it's on them. Like how are they storing it? Like we just all have all talked about, like it's, this stuff ages way harder whenever it's 3.5 grams at a time, as opposed to sitting in a core mass, you know? So I just think that, I don't know, man, I really like this competitive place where it's at for all the people that we're doing stuff. And it just seems like a really weird place to step in and start regulating stuff, especially since like the bulk is one of the last, this is one of the last points I wanted to mention. The bulk is one of the last places for the consumer and for the store to see it one more time before it goes out the door. And we're in a scenario where, you know, the Chads have so much money and serious like institutional knowledge from being like pretty adept in other industries that they've been able to beat the shit out of the state all over the place in the courtroom, you know, metaphorically beating the shit out of them into like, I mean, I'm pretty sure that failed, you know, product was forced to be sold on the market by Viridis. You know, that's a, I'm think like a true thing that happened, you know? So in like in, and all across the state, municipalities are getting the shit kicked out of them in the courtroom by Big Chad to, you know, get their dispensaries that they didn't get on points or whatever. Right. So like, I mean, shit, man, we're at the point now where like, you can't even necessarily trust the stuff that's tested and sold to you just because you're like, oh no, can't buy these guys. Like, the lab they test with is like, has the best fucking lawyers in the world. So like, basically they can sell toxic waste. You know what I mean? Like that's insane.
Yeah. A lot of people heard about that. The moldy flower being sold after that determination was made in court, and yeah, it's like if that can happen, well, you know, there's obviously going to be distrust among the customers, and the last thing you want to do is remove the customer's choice. You know, you don't want to limit customer choice. Because they have choice on the black market, and they'll go find it. So, but to your point, I also want to say Michigrown is great flower, and you know they prepackage it in a glass jar, and you know I think it's a better storage situation, and like companies like Redemption, there's a lot of companies doing prepackaged the right way. Now the reason we're 100% deli style is just to have that flexibility. You know, if a lot of times somebody will come in and they're like, hey man, I got 43 bucks here, slap it on the table and give me as much of that strain as I can get. And sometimes it's 4.7 grams. You know what I mean? We like to be able to do that to maximize our sale and all of that. Hey, I did have a question for you, Kyle or Chris.
What's up?
Is there any progress with the state on whether they're going to start to require remediated product to be labeled as such? I'm not sure where that's at, and I kind of figured you guys might have an update on that.
No, interestingly enough, whenever there's like real shit like that, the wheels of the wheels of progress are slow as shit, you know.
In the meantime, though, anybody watching can tune into neverremediated.com, which is a website that we host that shares just a ton of the plethora of information about what remediation is, what the process is, and why some folks are doing it.
And I definitely encourage people, just normal consumers or people from the industry, like go there and learn about this shit, but then hit up the MRA because, you know, the reason that we're dealing with this bullshit with bulk flower is because some Chad's lobbyist, you know, really beat the drum for the MRA long enough. And they were like, OK, this must be a problem. Holy shit. But if you guys do it, it's kind of like the episode where we had Adam Brook and we had Jamie Lowell talking about like the voice of a constituent, of an actual human being who's there. Like that means so much more to a lawmaker or somebody who writes rules than a paid lobbyist, because it's their a lobbyist, like they have a lot of weight behind them, but at the end of the day, like they're paid to reach out, right? And so if it's one of you, like it means a lot more, and it means even more than that if you're knowledgeable and informed and can tell them like, hey, as a consumer, I at the very least want people to have to disclose if they're doing this shit, and here's why it's important to me. So that would be my plug for that. So, yep. Cool. Well, I think it's been a really great conversation and discussion about this, guys. Thanks for being on. I want to give Roy and Kyle a minute to kind of do an outro, anything they want to mention before we roll out. I do just want to once again push everyone to the hearing next Thursday. It's at 9:30. Please get involved. Please figure out a time to go to neverremediated.com or just do other, just hang out on Reddit for a while, learn a bunch of shit. We really want really knowledgeable people telling the state about this. And Kyle, why don't you start shutting her down?
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Roy. It's been really a really important topic to address as quickly as it came up. And as quickly as we're approaching this meeting, it's important that we get everybody informed and make sure we show up either physically or online. And as the link is posted, we'll be sure to share it on Facebook and on Instagram. Any shout outs you want to give, Roy? Why don't you tell us a little the address to your business and anything else you want to plug? Feel free.
So yeah, we're located in downtown Langsburg, 120 West LLs or 120 West Grand River Road, and it is right downtown. Langsburg's kind of one strip, so you can't miss it. Come check it out. Come look at the flower we have. We've got flower from a lot of great growers. We've got Easton Craft, Redemption, 710 Savant. We have just the list goes on and on. And we, you know, we're really proud of the products we carry. We, you know, examine them closely upon arrival. And, you know, we don't sell anything we view as subpar. We try to put our best foot forward and be honest with our customers and develop a relationship, a rapport with our customers. And so I guess come on out to Langsburg and be part of the Local Roots fam, and we'll take good care of you. You know, and thanks for listening. I think we talked about a lot of important issues today, and it's important that people get involved, and we're definitely encouraging all of our customers to join the fight and let their voice be heard. Tell them that they don't want to be like the one state that doesn't allow deli style bulk flower sales. We want to be like the majority of states that have determined it makes sense and there's a need for it. So that's about all I got. Thank you guys so much for everything you guys do in the industry. And I talk to you both every week, and you both have become good, great friends. So I appreciate you guys.
Thanks Likewise, for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. We really appreciate you and our relationship with you. And thank you for fighting the good fight, man, doing it right, and making sure to not be hurting our community that got us here and only helping it and enriching it. So it's been super awesome to see the store do well and just see everything kind of happen, man. So thank you so much for being on the show, bro. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.